Welcome into the Roaring Repeater Podcast here on 7220sports.com. I'm your host, Cody Tucker, joined as always by Jared Newland. This last regular season episode, as well as every episode this year, brought to you by our friends over at Wyo Lotto. Big thank you to them. Jared, it's the most important season right now for the Wyoming Cowboys, and that is the off season, which is going to be extremely busy, and the NCAA does themselves no favors with this calendar. Tomorrow, Wednesday, is signing day, the first early signing day. Then the transfer portal opens on January 2nd for 2 weeks. It's open through the 16th. Most teams, or a lot of teams not named Wyoming, are also preparing for a bowl game and the potential of the playoffs. We just saw how this impacted the Ole Miss Rebels, who were having their best season ever, and their coach is gone. I think we're also starting to see why a Colorado State fired Jay Norvell. You need to get a head start on stuff now because this calendar is so compressed, you're going to lose recruits. You're not going to be focused for your bowl game. The portal's going to go nuts. So I think that's honestly why we're seeing a lot of coaches get canned midway through the year, which you'd never really saw in college football.
The timeline's just so off on it's everything. Terrible. It is horrible. And I heard one possibility of what they would like to do is no spring ball. The portal doesn't open until the end of the spring semester. And then there's OTAs in the summertime. And these, you know, the players are here all summer long type of a deal where they can take some classes if they need them, but do the OTAs. And it's pretty much, it's OTA season in June anyway,
yeah,
and part of July.
Yeah, yeah.
But really get into it then, and then take a couple weeks off and then start your fall practices. But then move the season to the 23rd.
That's what Joey McGuire from Texas Tech was saying this week. He got on his soapbox for a good 2 minutes on it.
And then, like, last week would have been the championship games. This week's the first round of the playoffs.
Yep.
I mean, and
he said that he didn't want – football doesn't need to go into the second semester of college. It shouldn't go into the second semester. That's that's basketball time.
And we've talked before where men's basketball, or both basketballs, really need to not start their season until December.
Yeah, that'd be
with
great.
With their non-conference. Forget November. Yep. And then go through April.
That would be so great.
Yep.
The only drawback, and we might have talked about it on the show before, Jared, but how bad would a Wyoming pay the price if you started on August 23rd when all the students aren't there yet? And then places like Oregon and Oregon State and Washington State, I believe. I might be wrong on this, but I believe they don't even start college classes until the middle or late September because of
a lot of Midwest weather. Schools are that way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Like Ohio State, I think, and schools in the Big Ten. They don't start until the end of September.
But a place like Wyoming with such low population, do you think it would hurt them to play a home game or two before students are even on campus? Because we see what basketball used to look like even when they were good.
Yeah.
When kids are at Christmas break, it was
good. You're talking one game, 1 week, really, is all it is. And it's probably every other year if you're going to have a home game or an away game.
Yeah.
So, but if it's a big enough game, those kids will come back early, and they already do that saddle up thing or whatever where the freshmen are there anyway a week early.
Yeah.
I don't know. If the environment at Wyoming football games is so good right now, I think the kids would come back for it. And maybe you change your academic calendar.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Maybe they start later. So Wyoming people can enjoy their summer, enjoy the rest of their summer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or you go ahead and start that week, and then you end earlier in December, and then you come back earlier in January, which helps basketball in our minds.
Because there's
30 days when there's no kids on campus, and there's probably six home games during that time. And it's just, you think the atmosphere is bad for November games? There's nothing there in December.
Even when Wyoming was awesome in basketball, it was dead.
They're begging kids.
Yeah.
I mean, grade school kids to go sit in the student section and make noise.
So what was cool at Michigan State, but once again, apples to oranges, because, you know, there's a billion people in Michigan compared to Wyoming, but they would have old alums that were home for Christmas and stuff or that live there put on their Izzone t-shirts and go stand there and take the place of the students and sit in those awesome seats and get rowdy like they did when they were in college. And they do beer deals and all that and give them a shirt. Yep. And it's just a way to go back and pretend you're in college for a few games.
And they've tried that at Wyoming. I just think they maybe outpriced some things because me, I'm not going to pay an extra $10 just for a t-shirt to go sit in the student section. I'm going to sit in my seats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's me.
Yeah. Well, and plus, I mean, a lot of kids are in Colorado and they're home.
Yep.
And also, let's be real, Michigan State's non-conference schedule includes the likes of North Carolina coming to play at the Breslin Center, unlike Wyoming, who has Dartmouth coming to the AA. Are you going to leave Denver to come?
According to the website, it says there's not many tickets left for that game. So you better be there.
Unfortunately, I think the website is a liar. As great as that would be, though. And, you know, we're not going to talk a lot about basketball here. Of course, they gave Texas Tech all kinds of fresh hell on Sunday. It was really nice to see that.
So if you can make it,
yeah,
please go to the game.
Yeah. No, it'd be great. It'd be great. We haven't heard official word yet, Jared, but I think it's pretty safe to say that Jay Sovell is going to be back for 2026. We are going to Tom Berman, the athletic director, is scheduled now to meet with the media on Thursday after Sundance Wicks talks and does his weekly thing. But tomorrow is signing day, and tomorrow Jay is meeting with the media to talk about this new class, which should include 19 to 21 guys, freshmen that are coming in. I would say that's all but a guarantee that he's back. And as we've talked about on the show numerous times, I'm perfectly fine with that. I have no problem with him coming back at all. I think he totally revamped the defense last year in an offseason when he saw a glaring problem with that side of the ball, a la the way they played at New Mexico, and he fixed it. And I think he has every right to try and fix the offense this offseason. I also can't help but think everybody's acting like there's a vacancy here. And try selling this job to a really good coach that's coming in. We just fired our coach after 2 years. I'm playing the part of Tom Berman here. We just fired our coach after 2 years. He won 3 games the first year, 4 games the next. The offense was atrocious. They finished 129th in the country. After week 7, he fired the offensive coordinator to try and jumpstart this thing. It didn't work, but we fired him. He's gone. And also, by the way, his recruiting class is now not going to sign because we fired him. So you're going to lose that entire recruiting class. And by the way, we only have hundreds of thousands of dollars for NIL compared to everybody we play who, you know, is in the millions for NIL. And, you should come here. It's going to be a blast. You won't have any money to put together a roster, and you're going to lose your entire recruiting class. So, yeah, you should come do that. And I think everybody's quick response to that, Jared, is, well, look what Jason Eck did at New Mexico. Yes, Jason Eck kicked ass this year. He did a great job.
Coach of the year today.
Coach of the Mountain West today, and well-deserved. There was also other guys, Dan Mullen. He had to restart basically at UNLV as well. But Jason Eck 100% deserves that. However, he brought the most important position with him, which was a quarterback, brought him from Idaho with him. You might recall, he's the quarterback who beat Wyoming 2 years ago in Laramie. He also got arguably the best running back in the FCS, Humphrey out of Montana State. He brought his son, who ended up being the co-defensive player of the year in the Mountain West this year. He brought that defensive end, James Newby, who absolutely terrorized Evan Sobota last year when Idaho played Wyoming. It's a pretty good starting point. He brought in 70, I think, new players, but a lot of guys at some key positions that did some great things. And, oh, by the way, New Mexico got $11.1 million, according to the Albuquerque Journal, this offseason to go toward NIL. And
that wasn't all NIL.
Not all NIL, but and the legislature got behind the school, and they have some money. They have some money, and they're starting to realize their basketball program is great, but football drives the train. And look at the excitement they had down there. Not to mention, you know, once again, there's a million people outside their front door. It's not that easy. It's not that easy. And when you don't have NIL money, which Jay Sovell's getting filleted for being honest about their NIL situation, it's the truth. And I'm seeing all kinds of people, Jared, that are so eager to get $3.8 million gathered together so they can pay for his buyout. Get that eager about paying for NIL.
Yep. The paying the kids is more important than buying a coach out at this point. And because continuity yes, there's a lot of things that we've seen this coaching staff that angers us.
Sure.
They frustrate the hell out of us.
Yes.
But they're also in place, and they've proven they can recruit on one side of the ball, and they're going to go out and try to prove it on the other side of the ball.
And they've proven, although I know the sky is falling because Chris Durr just entered the transfer portal, they've also done a great job retaining guys. And that's a big reason why Tom Berman hired Jay in the first place. Not to mention Craig Bohl. He got the vote of confidence from Craig Bohl as well. But he wanted that continuity, and he wanted to keep these guys. And they did. Who did they lose last year that's really, really impactful? I would say Rook Brown. And Rook had a hell of a
year.
Maybe
Harsh.
And Harsh.
Harsh graduated, Sebastian Harsh. So yeah. We're fine with that.
Yeah. And Rook Brown is having a hell of a year at Houston. But he told me he left for family reasons. So who am I to question that? I don't know. That's what he said. So it wasn't that, F this guy, I hate this guy, I'm out. It wasn't that. So that's why he got the job. And I just, you know, if Jay Sovell got fired today, I mean, it's not going to register. What it would be to me as a journalist would be, oh, all right, well, who's next and how are you going to deal? It's all that stuff I just told you. You know, I'm not going to cry in my pillow if Jay Sovell gets fired today, and neither is he. He could stuff his entire pillow with $3.8 million. Being a fired head coach right now in college football is about the greatest job going in America.
Yep.
I believe I just saw something that said all the money that they're paying these coaches equates to $228 million, I believe, is the final tally.
Well, LSU's now paying three coaches.
Yeah.
That's Ed Orgeron, Brian Kelly, and now Lane Kiffin.
And now that's another part when I'm playing the part of Tom Berman that I forgot to mention is, oh, by the way, new coach, all that awesome stuff I just told you. We're going to pay you maybe $1 million. We maybe got $1 million to pay you. Yep. And I know I've heard some loudmouths out there who say, find a good FCS coach. It's amazing. You find an FCS coach to come in here. Yeah, Wyoming's tried that. Do you remember Joe Glenn? Love the guy. The Las Vegas Bowl will forever be one of my greatest memories. They didn't sniff a conference title. If it wasn't for Josh Allen, Craig Bohl wouldn't have sniffed a conference title. He's here for 10 years, doesn't even make it back to the game. So they've tried that. Those two have, what, six combined FCS national championships between them? So they tried that. They've tried that. And we don't even need to talk about where Wyoming would go because there's not an opening. Unless Thursday Tom Berman's going to say, hey, yeah, Jay just signed an entire recruiting class and then we fired him.
But
which ain't going to happen.
It wouldn't matter anyway because that recruiting class can then renege
yep.
and go elsewhere because the coach that signed them is no longer here.
Yep, but you're just going to burn them.
Yep.
You're going to burn them and then it's going to be forever known as, oh, yeah, remember when Wyoming did that? There's a new thing, new coach. Come on in. Come on in. But I think, honestly, Jay Norvell got fired. We even were like, why are they firing him right before the border war? And I guess my thought at the time was, well, they just had the biggest crowd in the history of CSU on homecoming and got smoked at home by Hawaii, I believe. But it's not really that. It's that, and we need to get a head start on who the next head coach is going to be because they see the calendar. They live by that calendar, and they knew damn well we can't hurry this thing and be looking for a new coach after CSU just lost Air Force on Saturday.
And they found a guy who's going to be like a Lane Kiffin and going to go steal players from his old school.
Yep.
And a bunch of the people that UConn had already had recruited.
Yep.
They're all now getting offers from CSU.
I saw that. I saw that on the way in today. Yep, absolutely. And he's going to get guys who were on UConn last year to come here.
And they had a good year.
And they did. Yeah, absolutely. At CSU, that's a great hire. It's a great hire. I just feel like Jim Mora Jr., if he sniffs success there. I heard him yesterday talking, oh, we can win a national title here. Come on, bro. Like, come on.
They're not even going to win a Pac-12 title.
No, hell no, they're not.
And
but if he wins, what did McElwain? He got the hell out when the getting was good. What, at 8 wins, I think? 8, 9 wins?
Well, and he's the only guy in their recent hires without any connections to CSU that had any success.
Yeah.
All these other, Bobo, zero success.
Yep.
Norvell?
Yep.
I'm going to say zero success.
And all those guys got fired.
Yep.
Yeah. And what did we just talk about last week? How great it'd be to see Wyoming be a stepping stone.
Yep.
Best case scenario for you folks out there, I would say, is Jay completely turns it around. They're in a Mountain West championship next year. Say they win it. he gets a badass job and he's out the door. And I wouldn't blame him one freaking bit if he did. So, but that's the best case scenario, right? Win. I talked about it last week. Alex Taylor went to Western Michigan. Would you trade that Cotton Bowl season? Hell no, you wouldn't. I still think of the 96 season like that, and that team didn't even go to a bowl.
Yep.
So anyway, we've been beating this drum all week about NIL. Anybody who online complains and blah, 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 and fire this guy and fire that guy, we've said, donate. Donate to the NIL. You, to your credit, Jared, did some research this week on the NIL so you could be educated about this, because I am still admittedly a complete idiot when it comes to this stuff.
Well, the way to donate is through the Cowboy Joe Club. That is the only way to donate now. There was, for a short period of time, the One Wild Collective. For all matters, it's done.
Yeah.
Because they took it in-house, which they couldn't at first, but then now it's in-house. So if you want to donate to a program, you can do that through the Cowboy Joe Club. If you want to say, I want to, if you say you own XYZ Bank and you want to have Tote Harris as your spokesperson and pay him $100,000 to be your spokesperson and do all these ads for you and stuff like that, those type of deals need to go through Learfield. And that's true advertising along with the kid getting paid.
Like we saw Chugwater Chili do that with John Michael Gillenbaugh.
Yeah, and I think Allison Ferdig had something going last year when she was playing as well. There's a couple other, like Andrew Johnson with the Laramie Regional Airport, things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's also the NIL Exchange, which is on the GoIO website, where you can get an autograph, have a kid do a birthday greeting. You can have a public appearance by somebody. Make social media posts for you on your behalf, or even put a camp on, things like that. And depending on who the athlete is, they set their own prices, all that kind of stuff. They're on there. Cause I saw one was like $20 to do, like a public appearance. I saw another one, Jack Walsh, was like $500. It just depends on who you are and you know, what level you are at and what grade you're in, things like that, and what sport you're in. But those are the ways to do it. So, if you want to get involved, CowboyJoeClub.com is the way to go. Just donate.
I feel like, and we talked about it a little bit on off the air, and we talked about it a little bit last week, but I feel like my head keeps going back to what the Buffalo Bills fans do every time they get behind. Because I feel like there's not a lot of people in Buffalo that are just going to go, hey, here's $1 million. Because it's a blue-collar, tough town, just like Wyoming's a blue-collar, tough state. And they're not just handing out all this money. However, I think more people would be apt to say, here's $17 and just crowdfund it that way.
But just go to the website and donate $17 then.
I wonder, though, if they need to do an initiative like that.
Well, I don't think 17's enough.
Well, definitely not.
They did the 307 initiative through the One Wild Collective, I thought that was great.
Yep.
And you know, and like they're doing the 7221 through Cowboy Joe right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's millions of dollars that they've raised through this.
Oh, yeah. No, it's
brilliant. So those type of things. But you need to just be proactive. You don't need to go search for a donate now button. Go to CowboyJoe.com, CowboyJoeClub.com. Then you hit the donate button. Just go there. Just do it.
I just think the culture we're in now is just so, in Wyoming specifically, we have people who are like, I'm never going to pay a player, I'm never going to donate anything. And then to actually have them sit down at their computer and go through the steps to do that, I feel like you got to put it right in their face.
Well, and we've talked about the Roundup situation where you can go to the Brown and Gold outlet, you buy something, and then, hey, would you like to round up for Wyoming Athletics? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
But that is the only place that they're doing it at. The two locations, one in Laramie and one in Cheyenne. Why aren't there other locations or other businesses that are on board with this? Or we even brought it up, their own concession stands, for crying out loud. Yeah. Ole Miss, I Googled it to make sure that I heard that right. Ole Miss has a Roundup program at their own concession stands at their own games.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we have that?
Oh, it's brilliant and it's easy and it takes no effort.
And then you brought up, like, when you buy season tickets, would you like to donate to Cowboy Joe Club? Well, that is on there because you get better seats, better areas and stuff like that. But once again, some people are still asking, like, for certain games, oh, I'm not going to that game because I saw tickets for $400. Well, you were on a secondary website that has no affiliation with Wyoming Athletics.
Yeah.
SeatGeek is the official Wyoming online ticket website. Mm. Go through SeatGeek for secondary tickets. Mm. They were on there for face value still on the day of the game.
Yeah.
People just get that through your head, people. You don't need to buy tickets through all these different websites. Yeah. Go to the horse's mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you mind if I share this email that you sent me? I think you already touched on it, the roundup thing with Brown and Gold. These are some potential questions for Tom Berman on Thursday, and I think they're fantastic. You talked about, you know, the fans at Ole Miss, the donate thing, and that's the beauty. You can say no if you want. I talked about it last week. I donate a dollar every single time Albertsons asked me. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it's the right thing to do, and one day, hopefully, it comes back in spades. I also talked to I was talking to a guy the other day. I was in the Cowboy Joe Club when I was, I'm not even exaggerating, 14 or 15 years old. Something ridiculous. That's probably around the time I started to know you a little bit. I pledged $250 a year, which is nothing. It's a lot for a 15-year-old kid. And I remember one time being like, my Cowboy Joe Club stuff is due. Like,
I got to go Milan's.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. And it was always with the intent in my heart to put my money where my mouth was and do my part as little as my part was to buy season tickets and was to give 200 and make phone calls for Cowboy Joe, stuff like that. So that's what I did for years and years and years. And I didn't have $250 of disposable income. I still don't. I certainly didn't back then. But anyway, that was off subject a little bit. I love you went to a badass 2-day concert in Stillwater, Oklahoma this last summer. Have you looked into holding a concert in the AA or at the stadium to help raise money? What did, you have Texas A&M here? Didn't George Strait play in front of like a record crowd inside Kyle Field?
Yeah, in the round there. And then, but the Stillwater was actually 4 days, long. And I believe it was $5 million went back to their NIL after those 4 days.
Incredible.
Nebraska's hosting that same lineup at their stadium this next summer, and Zach Bryan is going to do a concert there. Now, is it all NIL related? Maybe, maybe not, but they never held these in college stadiums before the last couple of years. Now, all of a sudden, they're holding them there instead of the pro stadiums.
CSU just got the beautiful opportunity to burn CFD's ass, which in turn is burning Wyoming's ass by hosting PBR inside Canvas Stadium this last summer.
And they're doing it again this year, but it's 2 weeks earlier than Frontier Days. But they're doing it again with concerts and everything.
Yeah.
So
you mentioned here comedians, stuff like that. I mean, it makes way too much sense.
About Nate Bargatze or whatever his name is. He is funny as hell, a comedian that's out there. He doesn't cuss during his stand-up routine, which is unheard of.
Yeah.
But it is the funniest shit. I'll cuss for you. Bring somebody in like that. I mean, bet on yourself. I know his response is going to be, well, we don't have the money to go out and get somebody. Bet on yourself and put ticket prices to where people can afford them, one, but make it a great event. People will come. They're not going to come for a second tier or third tier person. We've seen it too many times where there's, 4,000 people. Well, that was a bust.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those type of things don't work. You have to get a headliner that's going to bring in people.
Yeah.
And if people know in advance that X amount of this money is going to go to NIL or to the collective, they're going to be more inclined to come. And charge for parking.
And charge, like you said, the roundup on the beers and the concessions at this concert.
Yes. I mean, you got to be proactive on this stuff. And I'm going to go way back to the Lee Moon era. One of the associate ADs at the time, they wanted to bring in a tennis match like into the arena auditorium.
Oh, you were talking like
a legit like, big time tennis match that made for TV event type deal.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great. Mm-hmm. I mean, those type of things are great.
Yeah.
You could do a World Cup wrestling type stuff. Wyoming's kind of a wrestling state and you're surrounded by wrestling states. If you brought in like the USA team against Iran, you could get 10,000 people there.
I don't know if it's that easy, but I mean, could you even talk like UFC fights and stuff like that, like one in the middle of the field?
I don't see why not.
Do you remember Michigan State having a hockey game in the middle of Spartan Stadium?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've talked to the commission before about, I said, you have all these fights in these small venues. Why don't you get a big time UFC fight in the arena?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the rent's so much, too much. Work with them. Mm-hmm. They're going to work with you.
You would know this better than me, and this is probably a big thing that they don't want to do whatsoever, but you pay how much for parking at a Wyoming football game to have for the year? Can they take some of that cash and allocate that toward NIL? Because, I mean,
well, it all goes to the same pot.
That's more expensive parking. I remember when I had season tickets, was more expensive than my season tickets.
Oh, absolutely. Access to park close, mm-hmm. That's a big deal.
Especially now,
yeah.
With the pool going in there, they have lost a ton of primo spots. So, I don't know. I mean, it's also what a challenge that the Cowboy Joe, and you would know this best, what a challenge you guys would go through that you're asking all these different avenues, and now there's another avenue to ask about, which is NIL, and you're asking the same people over and over to keep reaching in their pocket. It's not easy. That's why I think I'll donate $20 in a heartbeat before I say, okay, I'll give you a big-ass chunk. Here's $20.
But that's why now that it's actually easier because you're going to one entity instead of two separate entities.
That is the easier part for sure. Yeah. But it's just like, oh, the foundation wants money. Oh, the Cowboy Joe wants money. Oh, parking, you know.
But people who always talk about like trying to buy tickets on all these different sites – buy season tickets. There are
cheaper.
Season tickets for $175 a season.
Mm-hmm.
For six games, folks, $175.
That's as cheap as it gets.
This year, the CSU game and the Nevada game would have paid for those.
Yep. Remember all the Nebraska fans that bought Wyoming season tickets for one game? It's cheaper than going to a game with a badass seat in Lincoln.
Yep.
One game. I told you that last week. I think I went with my uncle to the ticket booth before the Wyoming OSU game in Stillwater, and he shelled out a $7,000 check for four season tickets for an Oklahoma State football game. That was in the Les Miles era when they just started to take off, when Boone Pickens literally gave $90 million at halftime to the school.
Yep.
Before that, their stadium sucked. It was a total dump. Oklahoma State was a complete afterthought. Them and Baylor were always the absolute dogs of the Big 12 that nobody ever cared about. I believe when you look at Oklahoma State and Oklahoma's all-time record versus each other, it's something astronomical. I want to say it's like 85-16 all-time or something like that. I mean, it's truly an afterthought. Look what that money did immediately. Yep. And it's like, when is Wyoming's Boone Pickens going to come out? Could that have been Jerry Buss? Could that have been somebody, please?
He gave more to UCLA than he ever gave to Wyoming.
That's unfortunate as well. So NIL is going to be a huge part, and I guarantee to you tomorrow, Jay Salvel is going to bring up NIL. It is a huge, huge issue, and I tell you what, I know from talking to a lot of people on the inside about this, not only was Wyoming left out in the cold when it came to the Pac-12 expansion because of television revenue and eyeballs on televisions, it was also the fact that those schools have set a bar for themselves that this is what we are going to pay for our football rosters, period. End of the story. If you don't want to put it into your football roster, you're not joining the Big 12. I don't care if you're in New York City.
Yeah, and then the Mountain West, on the other side of it, thinks they're going to have all this money because of the lawsuit, and they're going to get from all these from the Pac-12 and these teams. Well, that's held up in courts, and they may not ever see a dime out of it.
And the lawyers are wiping their asses with hundreds right now, enjoying every last second of this. You may have noticed we haven't talked about Wyoming's latest debacle, a 27-7 loss on the Hawaiian Islands. That one touchdown courtesy of a Jones-Thomas pick six in the first quarter. There are some positives to take out of this. I think I even brought it up last week that I fully expect this game to look just like the last few and that the defense isn't going to just mail it in and give it up, and it looks exactly like the last four. They went 0-for in November, losing all four games. They scored a grand total of 24 points, and seven of those came from the defense. This offense is putrid, hideous bad, and Jay Sawbell knows it, And that is number one on the docket this offseason, which begins tomorrow with signing day.
And we are not just talking about the all the offensive side of the field.
Yeah.
We're looking at QB1.
100%.
Has to be the number one priority. And it's not going to happen tomorrow for signing day.
Yeah.
Because what they're going to do is go find a transfer that's going to be, say, here's the reins. Take us.
Well, let's talk about it. What do you think? What is your honest assessment of Mason Drube, his first extended time? He got the entire second half. What are your thoughts?
Well, I wish that they wouldn't have done what they've done in the other games. Bring him in for a play. Take him out. Bring him in for a play.
Yeah.
Just give him the damn – let him go.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So the first half was kind of wonky. He's tough as hell.
Yeah.
And we saw that. I mean,
he's got to be a sore puppy on Sunday morning.
He got hit a lot, and he got up after every single one of them. And the last play of the game, I would love to know what those two offensive lines said, linemen said to him when they helped him off the field.
Yeah.
They said something to him.
Yeah.
And maybe you can ask those guys.
Yeah.
Or Mason even. Hey, what'd those guys say to you?
Yeah.
If you get a chance.
Yep.
Because that'd be very interesting to know. But his short and intermediate passes and throwing motion, I don't mind. His deep pass throwing motion is weird to me.
Yeah.
It's kind of like short releasing it at a 45-degree angle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm no quarterback coach by any means, but you can tell it's just different than other folks.
Kind of feel that way about Caden Anderson, too, honestly. Yeah. It's just not a big freewheeling motion, and unlike, you know, Evan, who was, like, so over the top. It's different for sure, but he finished 17 of 32, 179 yards. He did throw the pick that I wish, you know, he wishes he had back.
And things can be fixed.
Yeah.
I hate bringing up Josh Allen all the time, but look at what he did in the off season and he's still doing it in the off season. He still goes to Jordan Palmer and he has those computer guys as well that come in and show all these different angles, and he works on it in the off season all the time. He works on it every week. But Jordan Palmer helped him from being a 50-some percent passer in college to what he is today.
Yeah.
And he did that in the off seasons between his sophomore and junior year and then after he declared for the NFL draft.
Yeah, very true. So, once again, bringing up Josh Allen, when they brought him in to that game against North Dakota, his very first time on the field in Laramie, it was dynamic. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. It was just different.
And I thought to myself, is this because the quarterback play has been so bad that he just looks dynamic? And then my initial thought went to, that guy is so much better than the last guy. What in the hell is this staff thinking? That's when I was a crazy irrational fan who thought shit like that. I thought, what are they doing? That guy's clearly head over heels better. I think, what was it, Colby Kirkegaard, I think, was the starter then? I didn't get that with Mason Drube. It wasn't like, oh, my God, this guy's dynamic. But what I did take away is the word you just said. Like, he's tough. He also extended plays,
which is something that didn't happen. He has a sense when he's in the pocket of somebody behind him or going to get him.
Yep.
He knows when to leave the pocket.
Aside from getting absolutely hammered on the outside that one time, he really extended a lot of plays. That's what I took from it. And that is what Wyoming has not had all year long. And I'm not talking running, and I'm not talking that. He did a little bit of that too.
And it's because he actually has some wheels where Caden Anderson, he lost his wheels.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I mean, he kind of – Mason told me the week before when I interviewed him, he's like, I mean, yeah, I guess I'm a dual threat, but I'm not really. I mean, I'm a pocket passer too. But you can be a pocket passer if you can maneuver around the pocket and you have that clock in your head. And we just haven't seen that. Yep. We haven't seen it. So the extending plays is huge. Look at all the plays that Alejandro, all the ones he extended. He absolutely killed the Cowboys on that. He didn't kill them running all over them. He only ran for 6 yards on 5 carries, in fact.
Yeah, he was just able to extend outside the pocket and then go complete a pass.
And it killed the Cowboys because your secondary can't stay on guys that long.
And a couple of those were on big, like long third down plays,
yes,
too.
Yes, they were. Yes, they were. So, I mean, really, that was the positive you take out of this. You can tell, you know, guys, I mean, I can't tell you right now that, you know, necessarily Chris Durr was out the door, but I think you can read the tea leaves a little bit, right? I mean, he didn't make the trip to Hawaii for a concussion, first of all. But second of all, Deion DeBlanc, he didn't do a lot in this game, but he was featured in this game. And he was also made the fourth down catch at the goal line against Nevada. Why isn't your dog, Chris Durin, on that play?
And DeBlanc was willing to go play running back this week for a team that was depleted at running
back.
Yes,
he was.
Chris Durin wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, he couldn't have. He's 173 pounds. So,
but we saw the last, I'm going to say, 8 weeks of the season. Chris Durin didn't want to be involved in any blocking. And that means that they weren't going to get it. They weren't going to feature him anymore if he wasn't going to do the rest of the job.
Yeah. Well, we talk about it all the time. Like, you're going to get targeted maybe seven times a game. What are you doing with the other 40 plays? That's very, very important. That's what got Jalen Sargent benched in the opener at Akron. So it's, you know, and let's be real here. Yeah, Chris Durr's dynamic, man. He made some plays. He was a fun guy to watch for these couple of years. But this team averaged 16 points a game. And that's not all on Chris Durr by any means, but are you really going to cry in your beer about losing anybody from this team? To me, you're going to you want Samuel Toad Harris back. He's dynamic. You want him back. But other than that, and Dion DeBlanc, I think you want him back as well. Other than that, to me, I'm going with the unpopular pick, which is the Rex Johnsons of the world and the Wes Kings of the world and the Luke Sandys of the world. Those are the guys that they truly cannot afford to lose this offseason.
Because you can't start over at O-line.
No. But running back, and I don't mean to diminish. You talked about it last week. That's kind of a dime a dozen kind of situation. And if they lose Samuel Toad Harris, that would suck. But it also, on the flip side, you know, you're going to find a dude in there who's a really good running back. And I think Sam Toad Harris is better than anybody you're going to find. But they found him, too. Demaja Harris, I mean, I'm seeing all the signs on Twitter that he is – probably gone as well. But, you know, he's a guy who didn't do much this year, and a shoulder injury really hampered him. And Teron Kelman, sources are telling me that this wasn't Teron Kelman's decision. So I wish, this is where I always wish coaches could come out and go, no, I told the guy to kick rocks. And I understand why they don't. It's not a good look. But there are so many dudes that, you know, you get wind of and you want to tell people, like, no, the sky's not falling. That guy got booted for a reason. And I'm not saying he necessarily got booted. I'm just saying, from what I hear, it was time to move on. And he will be looking for his fourth new home in 5 years.
And that's what I was going to say. He's already shown that he can't stay in one place for more than a year. Anyway.
Yeah,
it's fine.
It's fine, and that's where I think the dime a dozen thing. And I think Teron Kelman's – I think he's got some stuff.
Well, what really he did, like him. That win, game-winning touchdown against San Jose State,
yeah. I mean,
we're going to remember that game.
Yeah, yeah, and Air Force, run. And what he did against Air Force, yeah. I mean, he's got some stuff, no doubt about it. But
you can't just show up when you want to.
Yeah. The offense, to me, like, it needs a complete reboot. I believe Jay was saying rework after the game with Hawaii. He's made no bones about it. And he was saying the same stuff about the defense last year. And you know what? I know so many people out there can't stand Jay Sovell. He did it with the defense. He totally revamped that defense. They were really, really good this year. So if it wasn't for San Diego State being as good as they are, Wyoming would have been the best defense in the country, or the best defense in the Mountain West, which in turn would be one of the best defenses in the country. And really, the Achilles heel of Wyoming's defenses all these years have been at the cornerback spots. That has been shored up. Those guys are really good, and my understanding is they're both planning on coming back. And I'm talking about Marquis Grant and Tyrese Boss. And from what I understand, Tyson Dean will also be back, and he said if Dancis Miller had a year to come back, he'd be coming back too. So I think they're really good on that side of the ball. There's a lot of guys on that side that could potentially come back. Ethan Stolsatz was the leading tackler at Hawaii with seven of those and 1.5 tackles for loss. He'll be back. He's going to be a starting linebacker next year. Desmond Hearns should be back. You're talking about a lot of dudes. Gary Rutherford, who's played a lot of special teams, and a knee injury really set him back this year. He might have been the guy, but then we saw Evan Eller and Braden Johnson, how good they were. So I am all on board for saying, Jay, you rebuild this offense, make sure it works, and go out, get an offensive coordinator, get a QB1, get it going. But if it doesn't work, can you imagine the pressure cooker if he goes in and scores 7 points in Canvas Stadium to start the year and they lose to Colorado State next year? That's going to be 1 foot in the frying pan. And if he somehow starts 1-3, 0-4, something like that, he's gone.
Yep.
He's gone, and he will be gone midseason. I have no doubt about that from what we just talked about. They're not going to screw around with a guy all year long, so they screw up their recruiting and they screw up their search.
And there needs to be more done than just the OC, I think. on that side of the ball. I think there's got to be a little bit more of a shakeup because something's not clicking with everybody.
Yeah.
And yes, it starts at the OC. We know that. But there's other positions. I mean, maybe it's Tripodi at the O-line. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's Shannon Moore.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't want people to lose their jobs, but there's something not right on that side of the ball. And in my opinion, they have to go get a special teams coach. I'm going to hammer that until they do.
And from what I understand, that is not going to happen. It's just Jay has told me before that he wants to be the one who focuses on special teams.
Well, then focus on it, Jay.
But the problem is he's had to focus on the offense because the offense has been such a dumpster fire that he – and really, what is he doing? I mean, he's not doing anything offense.
That's but, Jay should not meddle with the offense.
Yeah, and he doesn't want to.
Yeah.
That's the thing. He has no desire to meddle with it, but now he needs to go find a dude.
But he needs to go to a special teams camp.
Yeah.
And seriously.
Yeah,
and learn how to do learn from one of the best guys out there. Go do it. You see coaches go to share ideas with other coaches all the time.
Mm-hmm. I brought it up. Is there too many cooks in the kitchen?
And they got to find a kicker.
Yeah. That's reared its ugly head. Do you feel confident going into the season with either one of those guys next year?
Not one bit.
Yeah. But I'm with you on last week. Bart Edmondson needs to be back.
Yes.
The other two, you can't risk it. In my opinion, you just can't. I mean, I don't know if we've seen enough from Keelan Anderson to really say that with him, but I mean, Eric Sandvik was what, 5 of 11 and missed on 5 of his last 6?
Yeah.
I mean, and he was a guy who, this will serve as a learning experience. This is a guy who barely played football in high school. He came to a camp and made like 10 field goals and impressed Craig Bohl.
You got to go, and I sent you a couple.
Mm-hmm.
One for sure.
Yeah.
There are kickers I've seen out there now that have put their film up.
Yeah.
Go get one of these guys.
And kicker of all positions is one that I think would covet the opportunity to come to Wyoming.
Absolutely.
I really do.
Yeah, and F that guy that was doing the color on the Hawaii game the other night. The play-by-play guy was great.
Yeah.
I liked him a lot.
What did he say, the guy?
He just said, well, you know, the elevation of 6,000 feet, you know, he's got an advantage in that punting.
Yeah.
And then he reeled one off and was like, oh, yeah, that guy's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
But their guy was good.
Yeah, he was. He really was.
Kicker and punter.
Yeah. Well, you took on a fun exercise this week because the thought is that Wyoming is probably going to go after an FCS quarterback. They need a guy who's experienced. You can't just go and say, hey, Georgia's third-string quarterback, who was a 4-star out of high school, is in the portal. You need a guy who's played. And, you know, you're probably going to get a guy out of the FCS, if you're being honest with yourself. And you probably don't want a guy. Your best case would be like a Utah State, like an Andrew Peasley, who actually played a little bit, and you knew what you were getting. Wyoming was also, by the way, desperate as hell at the time. For a quarterback, you might remember Craig Bohl putting out a help wanted on social media that made it all the way to SportsCenter. But FCS, I'd say, would be the safe bet where to start. Because you need a guy who's played a lot. I think they're looking for a guy who's maybe – because I think they think Mason Drube's the future. So you don't want a guy coming in who maybe has like 2 years of eligibility left. Not a guy who has like 3 or 4 left. They want a guy who has shown he can do it over a – consistent amount of time, and I think you did a good job digging these up.
Well, and you had a conversation online with Wayman Levingston, who played DB here back in the 90s, and he played actually with Kirby Droob.
Yeah.
And he's just telling Mason to go get in the portal and get out of here. What are they going to do? And Wayman, you're way too smart for that. You have a law degree, for crying out loud. I understand where you're coming from, but at the same time, Mason knew this coming in that he was going to sit. He got rushed into action that, yeah, he relished the opportunity,
yep,
but he shouldn't have been out there.
No, hell no.
And
we said it day one.
And he shouldn't be out there next year. He still needs to progress and learn the system and learn the speed of the game.
Can Jay go into 2026 with Mason Drube as a starting quarterback at CSU next year with his job on the line, and not just his job, his career on the line, because Jay will never be a head coach ever again. Vic Koning was never a head coach again. Dave Christensen was never a head coach again. They're not. How do you sell to a fan base, oh, yeah, this guy won 4 games at the University of Wyoming and they had the worst offense in the world. Yeah, he's our new head coach.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
No.
So this is his job, his career, his lifetime in football ahead of him here. Can you really rely on Javon Bonite as your offensive coordinator, who's not a full-time guy? He doesn't have a bunch of years under his belt.
I've heard theories out there saying that they believe that, yeah, Javon was able to do the game plan for CSU because it was, you know, he was given that job that week.
Yeah.
But then that Jay Johnson must have meddled back into it because then it just got worse again.
No, I can tell you that absolutely didn't happen.
Did not happen because Jay Johnson was pretty much non-existent in the building.
From what I hear, he wasn't even heard on the headset.
Yeah.
And hasn't been.
As an analyst, I don't know if you are able to be on the headset during a game.
I don't know.
But I think there's rules against that. But anyway.
I would bet Jay Johnson's U-Haul has already left the station. It's over.
Well, he's getting paid through January 15th or whatever anyway, so he's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I took on a little duty here just to – I was just curious because we had heard that they're going to go after an FCS quarterback, so – and we heard maybe one location. I was like, oh, I don't know. That guy's not a true dual threat. He only had like 8 yards rushing.
And
it was all on scrambles to get – and then you lose all those yards on sacks and shit. But so then I dug a little bit deeper. Now we have no idea what's going on here, folks. I promise you, we have no idea. I just went into the playoffs and looked at the teams that are in the playoffs right now. And one team was beat last week after a miraculous comeback by Yale. They were down 42-14. They won 43-42.
Wow.
On the road. But anyway, Jerry Kaminsky, 6'2", 210 at North Dakota. He is a junior-to-be. He threw for 2,458 yards this year, 60% thrower, 26 TDs, 10 picks, added 544 more yards on the ground with 8 TDs. Justin Lamson from Montana State. Highly, highly doubtful this kid's coming, but senior to be. 6'2", 210, 72% thrower, 2,300 yards, 20 TDs, only 2 picks, added almost 600 on the ground and 11 more TDs. That's pretty good.
Not bad.
Kalia Ayat from Hawaii. He plays at Montana. He is a junior to be. 3,100 yards through the air, 68%, 25 TDs, 7 TDs on the ground. He's not much of a scrambler because he's 60 rushes for 83 yards, 6'1", 192. So he's kind of like the kid that Hawaii has now.
Yeah, type of deal. Yep.
Devin Farrell, Rhode Island, 6', 195, 3,400 yards, 66%, 22 TDs, 8 picks. Added 3 TDs on the ground. Another guy that only had 77 rushes for 80 yards. There's a kid from UC Davis, a sophomore to be, so that's even more highly unlikely since he's not an upperclassman. His name's Pinnock, 6', 190, 70% thrower, 24 TDs, and he also ran for 312 yards.
You know what I'm seeing there that's all in common here? Is 6' to 6'2", which is why they were overlooked in the first place, most likely.
And as you say, they have a huge chip on their shoulder. A lot to prove.
The last quarterback that was really, in hindsight for most, was really salty and good was Andrew Peasley, who was in that range.
And he was probably listed at 6'2". Yeah. We don't know if he was an inch or a half inch over 6'.
No.
And he maybe 205?
Maybe. Yeah.
But he was a dog.
Yeah.
As they say.
Yeah, he was.
Here comes the last guy who you and I like this kid the most.
Yeah.
Senior to be from Youngstown State. They were the team that got beat the other night by Yale. Bo Brungard, 6', 215, 68% thrower, 3,200 yards, 26 TDs, 3 interceptions. And that, I looked at his sophomore year, he had thrown 10 picks the year before. About the same touchdowns, but 10 picks. So he took care of the ball a hell of a lot better. He added 1,468 yards on the ground and 27 TDs. He accounts for 53 touchdowns for Youngstown State. from the quarterback position.
But he's 6 foot.
215.
Yeah, would take him in a heartbeat. Wyoming also, by the way, has a tie to Youngstown State, which is Deontay Gibson, the defensive tackles coach, who before 1 year at Air Force was 2 years at Youngstown State. You might remember he brought in DeJuan Martin this last offseason, a defensive end who didn't work out and did not make it through spring. But they have that. And Deontay Gibson's brother is a coach, I believe, at Mercer, which is where they found Dansus Miller in the first place. So they've got boots on the ground at the FCS level.
And is there a connection at North Dakota?
I know. I mean, they lost the coach there to North Dakota, that running backs coach who left. But also Wyoming's running backs coach is at, and I don't think there's any hard feelings between Gordie Howe and Wyoming by any stretch. So I love all that stuff, and I want to break in real quick from Twitter. Desmond Hearns, Wyoming's nickelback, who played so well this season. Jay Sauvel needs more of this, in my opinion, and so does Wyoming. Desmond Hearns tweets out, "I'm not going anywhere. Excited to run it back with my guys. I believe in this team, our staff, and this university. Go Pokes."
Holy shit. Something positive from Twitter.
Isn't that incredible? For real. I mean, and you know damn well Jay Sauvel didn't say, "Hey, will you tweet this out for me?" These guys really like him. They really do. And I tell you what, if he were to get fired, they would lose three quarters of this roster overnight, including I know of one name that would stun you all, and he'd be out. Just got the email, by the way, from UW just now. Tomorrow, Wyoming head coach Jay Sauvel will host his national signing day tomorrow at 1 p.m. in the team room of the High Altitude Performance Center. Jay Sauvel will be there for signing day. I would say he is back in 2026. I have 40 minutes till I have to go get my daughter, so we're going to have to blow through some questions real quick here. But I put it out late, but got some good questions, and we've probably already touched on a bunch of them. But Dal Erickson, with the exception of the Hasselbeck kid at quarterback, are there any other names of the projected signees that stand out to you in terms of potential for next season? You know what, Dal, I'd have to go through all that. I should have looked at that first. I should have looked at that. Cal, by the way, just came through, is working to finalize a deal to make Oregon defensive coordinator Tosh Lapoy its next head coach. So Nick Rolovich is still available on the open market as an offensive guy, offensive coordinator type, who he didn't want the COVID shot and got fired at Washington State. He'd be perfect here. People seem to love that. Thor Stevens, I'll get to you, Dal, tomorrow for sure, because I'm going to write more about these guys tomorrow. Thor Stevenson, any idea on who we may target for an OC? Jared and I talked about this, that a big trend going on in the country right now is getting the quarterback and the offensive coordinator to come to your school together. Youngstown State, I don't know if we've really looked into that enough to say.
Efforting right now.
Yeah, to say if that would be smart or not. I don't know. Go Pokes. John says, where can I donate? We talked about that. It's a great question. It's a valid question. More people need to know. I believe it needs to be more readily available. Ian Brooks, not Wyoming related, but New Mexico got robbed, right? Man.
They did, but the rules are what the rules are.
I know.
They knew that from the very beginning.
What a perfect opportunity to give a last middle finger to these clowns and be like, UNLV in New Mexico, you're up.
In Albuquerque.
That would have been really cool. Your buddy, Y.O. Tailgater. Many are saying that the buzz around Mike Gundy to Wyoming is real. No, it isn't. What have you heard about this? Nothing. Do you want to answer that?
No.
Yeah, nothing is what I've heard about this. You know what? If this job was vacant, would you want Mike Gundy? I'd be all for it. I really like Mike Gundy. I feel like he'd fit in great at Wyoming.
He's a guy that I don't think he's not a flashy guy, and he's not Lane Kiffin, who just is all about the dollar signs.
Yeah.
Would he want to be paid fairly? Of course. Well, his agent would want to be paid fairly, put it that way. He has a ton of money.
Yeah.
He would love to probably do something like this for 3, 4, 5 years.
Would he have to forfeit money coming to him from Oklahoma State, though, to take another job?
I think it's the whatever he's making here would offset.
Yeah.
So he still would be getting paid the remaining dollars.
Yeah.
But all reports are he's going to North Texas.
and which would be a great spot for him.
So they're swapping coaches.
Yeah, that'd be a great spot. North Texas is one of my favorite teams. After watching them play, their stadium's awesome. Their offense is so fun. I mean, I think you and I talked about it. Why not go try and get somebody off that staff? I mean, they score in bunches, and they get their complete roster ripped apart every single year by the transfer portal. No, I'm not hearing a thing about Mike Gundy buzz because Wyoming doesn't have a vacancy. And if they did, sure, I'd be all for Mike Gundy. I really like him. I think he's awesome. I know my family down in Oklahoma had it with him. They were done, but they loved him once upon a time, and they will love him again when he comes back to wave at the crowd. And
I can see how he would wear on people, though.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, they had all the money in the world and weren't winning. That's tough. Dan Fitzgerald, any idea what kind of offense Jay wants to run? Any idea what coaches will be replaced on the offense? Also, do you think Javon would stay on as a receivers coach? Is it true Berman may retire in 2026? I feel like I can always tell what people are talking about on these miserable, awful message boards that I wouldn't dream of going on. I don't know if Tom Berman's going to retire in 2026. I don't know if that's going around these message boards or not.
Well, it's because his contract's up.
Yeah, and his contract, yeah. I mean, maybe. I mean, the guy's been here forever. I think it was 19 years this year. That's a long time. And you know, ADs don't stay places for 19 years unless they're winning, for one. It's just what Gary Barta was at Iowa all this time, and Iowa wins. They go to a bowl every single year. They're just maddening as hell because they can never take that next step, which reminds me of the entire Craig Bowl era. And Wyoming was compared to Iowa all the time. That is not the comparison I would want ever. Yeah, they were consistent. They consistently won 7-8 games a year. But
can we go back to this Youngstown State offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
I think we might like this guy.
Yeah.
Mike Yersich, and I probably butchered the name, but he's the assistant coach, offense coordinator, and quarterback coach. He's went to California, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
As an alma mater in 1999. But he's coached for 25 years, 18 as an offensive coordinator. He was at Penn State 21 through 23 as the OC and was let go when they had that whole shakeup there because Franklin was trying to save his job at that point by shaking that up. But he was also the play caller at Texas and Oklahoma State.
Hmm.
23 Nittany Lions, averaged 36.2 points a game in the Big Ten, 56 touchdowns, and converted 20 of 26 fourth down opportunities.
That's a shitload of points in the Big Ten.
Yes.
Outside of Oregon and Ohio State, basically.
He coached Sam Ellinger at
Texas.
Let's see. In his lone season at Ohio State as the passing game coordinator, they went 13-1, and he was Justin Fields' coach, who was a Heisman Trophy finalist. And then also at Oklahoma State, they experienced one of their greatest offensive eras under Yersich, with the program averaging 38 points a game, 478 yards per game, and they went 52-24 with four 10-win seasons. Done.
Interesting. Very interesting. That's the rabbit holes I like going
Let's
down.
Go to cowboyjoeclub.com and hit that donate button now, folks. We're going to need you.
I love it. What kind of offense does Jay want to run? I don't know. All I know is he wants creativity in the running game more so than anything. It hasn't been creative in forever. It's been brute force. And zone reads. That's what it's been forever. So zone blocking scheme, all that good stuff. They need more. They need to diversify that. And honestly, the key word this whole entire year was identity. And it's hard to find your identity when you can't complete a pass and you can't get anything going through the air, which in turn puts a bunch of bodies in the box that you can't account for. And then you can't run the ball. So you're screwed. Any idea what coaches would be replaced? I don't know. We kind of talked about that. I mean, I don't know what kind of shakeup. Javon Bonite stay at receivers coach? I think he should. And he acted like he was open to it at the end of the year, but who knows? Being the offensive coordinator at Wyoming is not for the weak.
Well, and I mean, he was asked if he wanted to take on the role as interim OC, And he said yes.
Yeah.
I mean, some guys may have said no, I'm not ready. I don't know how to do this.
And yeah, or no, this will be a stain on my record forever.
So he did it, and knowing that may not work out, and hopefully he does come back as the wide receiver coach, and this is where he's going to raise his family.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Buck rolled, fans have heard rumors of a new transfer quarterback. Just went through all that. Any idea on who that could be? Went through that. Also, any speculation on the Durr transfer? Yeah, I mean, I think we saw Deion DeBlanc take on a much bigger role at the end of the year. And also, there was a lull in the middle of the season where Sauvell said numerous times, he's got to be better. And I have a quote in my story I wrote where he, even Durr himself, said, I needed to be better. And by better, that's not dropping balls. That's playing the position the right way. Money from other suitors, program issues, you know, maybe offensive issues. Can't blame it, you know, can't blame him, I guess. He's a true slot receiver. He wants to go catch balls and make plays, and that's far and few between here right now. Farmer Ted, is there any reason to have hope Sauvell gets it figured out in year three, considering no real improvement from year one to year two? That's false. There was a lot of improvement from year one to year two on the defensive side of the ball, a ton. And that's what, to me, for even the most anti-Sauvell people out there, keep in mind. He completely revamped that defense with guys none of us had ever even heard of.
Can you imagine if he hadn't revamped that defense, what this year would have looked like?
Oh, brutal. Brutal. Bad Kane, is Wyoming giving Jay a year three because they actually feel that he's the right man for the job, or do they have money issues and can't afford to buy him out and hire another coach? I just don't think that Tom Berman's jumping the gun like you guys are.
I think it's both.
To a degree, yeah. I'm sure it is. If some big influential booster came up right now and said, here's $4 million and here's another four to go get Mike Gundy.
But is it truly $3.8 million? I don't think it is. It's the base salary times three.
If they wanted it that bad, they would come up with it. And I do think that Tom believes in him. And we talked about it before we came on the air. Vic Koning got 3 years.
There's numerous other people.
Fritz Schirmer got 4 years.
And unfortunately, there's a trend with that too. They're all defensive coordinators turned into head coaches that did not work out.
Yep. Absolutely.
And hopefully this one is the one that works out.
Yeah, sure. There's a lot of right stuff, guys. Believe it or not, there's a lot of stuff going right. I get it, though. It's maddening as hell. There's some maddening moments where it's, why aren't you having more urgency? Why is there another false start? Why is the clock management shit? Well, you know, I get all that. That's tough, but I think if you're in Tom Berman's shoes, too, you hired a guy knowing him damn well he's never been a head coach at any level, and you were going to have some growing pains. And I think he weighed the situation and said, if we go in another direction out of the house right now, Wyoming's going to lose every impact player on their roster. Is it worth it? And for the people who love Craig Bohl so much, he's the one who suggested it. And once again, Tim Polasek was still on Wyoming staff when he suggested Jay Sauvell, obviously not Tim Polasek. Pretty simple. And I talked about it last week, how a lot of players felt about Tim Polasek. That would not have been a popular decision amongst the players. So he's kicking ass at North Dakota State. I'm taking nothing away from him. Craig Bohl kicked ass at North Dakota State and came here and was a 500 coach.
So Chris Kleinman.
Yep. All of them. I mean, he built an unbelievable thing. Craig Bohl built an unbelievable thing at North Dakota, and he absolutely stabilized the ship at Wyoming. I don't think Wyoming needs to be a perennial 6-7 win team, though. I think they haven't won a conference title since 1993. And they won a bunch of conference titles back in those days with BYU and Utah in the conference, and they practiced outside, and they didn't have bells and whistles, and it can be done. Johnny Utah. I already don't like your last name, Johnny Utah. How is it possible we're giving year three to Sauvell? See above. We've talked about it over and over again. I just don't think it's a good sell or an easy sell. It's already not an easy sell to be the head football coach here, but I think it's really not an easy sell when you're like, oh, yeah, we just fired the guy after 2 years and we don't have any NIL money and, you know, yeah, come on down. And, oh, by the way, because we're hiring you, we lost the entire recruiting class. It's just – it's tough. And I think if Jay stumbles next year, it's time. And it will – if he stumbles midseason, he's gone. I have no doubt about that. The way the NCAA calendar is, I have no doubt about it. Jared Carter, non-football question, because you probably get asked the same three, OC rumors, transfer portal, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going a different route. Food questions from away games. Akron, Colorado, Air Force, San Diego State, Fresno State, Hawaii. Which town had the best food overall, and what was your favorite dish of all of them? Akron actually ate at a Mexican joint in Akron. That was killer. It was really good. I didn't really partake a lot on the road this year, though, and it was kind of nice. We had Boulder, you know, and Colorado Springs, two driving games, which was really nice. But
and you know how cheap media members are? They wait to eat in the press box.
That's you're not far off. You're
kidding. Far I know off. There's sometimes you have to eat the night before and stuff, but you're not really much of a foodie, though. You eat your basic foods.
That I love.
Yeah. I mean, your barbecue.
I go looking for barbecue steak. Yeah. That kind of stuff. I'm not necessarily going outside the box. I did go with a buddy to San Diego in 2019, and he bought a like $300 seafood tower. And I don't even like seafood, but I ate octopus. I ate lobster. It was, I'm glad I did it. But other than that,
well, and I'm not ordered. If you did go to Hawaii, you probably wouldn't have partook in any ahi or anything like that anyway, which is so damn good.
I would have done there. They do some barbecue up there.
But the ahi tuna is just, you can't go wrong with it.
Is that the one where they try and lie to you and say it tastes like steak?
No, it's just.
Oh. Is that walleye I'm thinking of that people lie to you about and say it tastes like steak?
No, walleye's good if it's prepared right.
I'll take your word for it.
You need to branch out a little bit more.
I wish I did. Being on the carnivore diet, it's not easy when you don't eat seafood.
You and Kevin McKinney are the two blandest eaters I've ever been around in my life.
I'm a simple creature. Steak and Coors. I'm good. From Facebook, Caleb Taylor, what kind of fan-driven NIL efforts have you seen around in other places, and how could we get started? Maybe a fan pick of the week, and the votes are dollars for NIL donated to the fund. I don't know, but $2.5 million seems like a lot to overcome. Got to get creative, Caleb. I like it. We touched on all that earlier, so I'm sure you've already listened to that part. But got to get creative, and I'm with you, Jared, 100%. Take a chance on yourself. You got to spend money to make money.
Call it a chance. On the crafts table. Bet on the come line. Yep. That's what you have to do.
Yep, I love that. Michael Skinner, if Savelle is retained for 2026, is it because top brass still believes in him, or is it because his buyout is too substantial and wouldn't leave enough money to attract the right coach if let go? It's not only the money that wouldn't be able to attract a coach, it's the NIL part. I think that's a huge aspect of it, because even with Lane Kiffin, you're saying, well, how much money are you giving me? How much money are you giving me to put toward players and staff?
The contract was dang near parallel.
Well, what did Jim Mora Jr. too? They're giving, I think CSU's giving him $5 million or something like that for staff and stuff. Yeah. I mean, that's huge. That's huge, because coaches want to get paid too. I'm going to butcher this for sure. Zarnecki, are there any kids in state that the school has their eyes on? And yes, we did do a podcast last week. It was about 2.5 hours. Scott Powers says the younger Haswell kid from Sheridan committed a couple months ago. He did. They also have the big kid, the big offensive lineman from Central that I wrote about. You know, to get ahead of myself a little bit on the stupidest shit I've seen this week, it's still the same repeat stuff over and over. The FCS crap and the I think we need to get more in-state kids. I mean, it's just – it's not that difficult, guys. You cannot win with a roster full of Wyoming guys. You just can't do it.
I just got a question texted, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Wants to know how Wyoming will compare with the new Mountain West teams in terms of athletic revenue share and the NIL. I'd like to think that we are one of the best funded athletic departments in the new Mountain West.
Yeah.
I would definitely upper third.
Well, look what just happened in New Mexico.
But we do need to really look in. Maybe that's a question for Tom on Thursday.
Yeah.
Ask him that question.
Yep. New Mexico, UNLV, they're finding money too. Dan Mullen did a hell of a job this year. UNLV's lost their starting quarterback, three years in a row, and Anthony Calandria was the Mountain West Offensive Player of the Year. He's a hell of a good coach. The Peak 102.7 FM out of Sublette County asks, if staff changes are going to take place, is Tom Berman the guy to hire the next head coach? Aren't athletic directors usually tied to their hires that they make, especially in football and basketball? Should be. They are at big schools. That's for damn sure. Most ADs probably don't make 4 or 5 football hires, I wouldn't imagine. CSU sure hasn't. So that's a great question. But then you go up the rung, and Wyoming doesn't even have a president. It's complicated, I would say. And you would probably know more about that than me, Jared, but it's complicated.
It's very. And it's I can't answer the question either. So
yeah. Brian Stevens, I'm pretty sure there will be staff changes. Will those changes precipitate player turnover? They could. And maybe that's part of Chris Durr. I don't know. But maybe that's part of Chris Durr, too, is that Javon Bonite has made up his mind that, you know. And I don't think he's totally out of the running to be the OC, but what we brought up earlier, I just think you can't go into Fort Collins next year and put your career on the line with guys who just don't have a track record of doing it.
Here's another question. What more important question, actually, he said. What would it take to get a weekly podcast from you two every week during the basketball season? We need it.
Oh, brutal.
You two are the Sportsline Live of this generation.
Oh, I don't want that. You know how many times I was asked to reinvent that? No way.
We are going to do podcasts throughout the basketball season. I promise you that. Yeah. It won't be every week, though.
Yeah, no way. Steve Stowe, to date, not hearing anyone at the quarterback position that's going to enter the portal, that jumps off the page. To date, not hearing anyone at the quarterback position that's going to enter the portal that jumps off the page. I don't know what that means. Are you talking about Wyoming players? Does Jay have any insight on what kid he may enter the portal that he has his eye on? Yeah, we talked a lot about that. This homework Jared did.
We have our eye on
somebody. We have our eye. Yeah, we do. Any idea what kind of coin it's going to take to grab this type of quarterback? Yeah, from what I hear, it starts at 500K. So
that's for a top tier quality, going to be a starter.
Yeah, FCS.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now you're looking at other levels, they're going for $2-3 million.
Yeah. I saw a podcast the other day with Matt Leinart, who thinks he would have made $5 million a year at UCLA or USC.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for the question, Steve. He said, love the show. Keep up the good work. Appreciate you, Steve. Derek Richens, you may have addressed this before. My questions are, one, we keep hearing to donate to the NIL fund. Can you update everyone on the status of NIL at Wyoming right now? It's not public. We do know rev share, though. I believe it was $2.8 million, and 1.5 of that is allocated toward NIL, but that's not just football. A majority of it is football, but that's not all sports either, but volleyball, men's basketball, wrestling, things of that nature. Can you briefly address the amount we have for players and the plan moving forward? But I mainly wanted to know, is it handled through 1YO, Cowboy Joe, or by the athletic department? Cowboy Joe is, Jared found out today by making a couple of calls, all Cowboy Joe. Yeah, I mean, how much money they have, I can tell you I've heard. It's not even a million is what I've heard. And that's not enough. That's not going to cut it. Who is in charge of it? I know it changes a lot, just wondering. It's a great question, Derek, and it's one that I think we're seeing way too many Wyoming fans are confused about, and that's not a good sign.
And that's
I'm confused about it.
That's the athletic department's fault.
Yeah,
They need to do a better job of educating the fans.
Yeah, our buddy Go Pokes on Twitter, who is more dialed in than any fan I've ever seen in my entire life.
You mean all 70,000 of his tweets?
Yeah, he doesn't even know what's going on. I can't even tell him what's going on. That's probably
not good.
And
by the way, Go Pokes, what do you do for a living that you have all this time to just tweet, tweet, tweet?
Yeah. I want that job, please. And I think he's got a couple houses. Like, I think that dude's living large. what direction does...
Speaking of, if he has a couple houses... maybe you sell one and that goes to the NIL.
Donate your house to the NIL. what direction does coach take the offense? Go back to power run with a fullback? No on the fullback. Or continue with the spread? And the reason I say no with the fullback is you can throw a tight end back there occasionally and then you'll have a better athlete on the field. I mean, the day of the fullback, in my opinion, is toast. You can throw a guy in there right now like a Jake Wilson, who was their best blocking tight end who didn't play all year. He would have been perfect on set plays to go into the backfield and lead the way. But a traditional neck roll fullback, that's done. Can he afford to change schemes dramatically next year? It took Bull 3 years to run his scheme effectively. I would argue it took him 3 years to run his scheme effectively because we all know who the quarterback was in year three. I loved power run with the fullback, but just wanted a bit better passability. Absolutely. And that's what I think you need to search for, in my opinion, is – run it down their effing throat, but also be able to turn the passing game on. And I think that's everybody's goal, right? To be balanced and all that good stuff. But they didn't have an identity this year, and they couldn't have an identity this year because the skill positions just weren't getting it done. I wondered if Coach had hinted toward anything. Thanks, guys. Love the articles and the podcast. Thanks, Derek. Appreciate you, man. Great question. Tim Gonzalez, any coaches that might not be retained? I can't tell you that I've heard of any right offhand. What I could see, though, Jared, believe it or not, is maybe some guys getting poached. Could see that.
Especially on that defensive side of the ball where they were so good.
Yep, absolutely. my buddy Breck Wegstaff up in Douglas, how hands-on is Jay in practice during games on the sideline? It seems like he just marches up and down the sideline, arms folded with little interaction with other coaches or players. Just seems to be pouting with a mad look and not coaching who is encouraging and leading. Yeah, he does look like that. And it's a valid question. Yeah, he's hands-on. The practices, we were able to see he kind of walks around and bounces around station to station, and when he sees stuff, he stops them and teaches them. He looks like a true teacher to me. But the few practices we got to see from Craig Bull, you'd see him bounce around to different places and then come uncorked and rip somebody's head off for not doing it right. You know, kind of like you hear about Jimmy Johnson on these, 30 for 30s and stuff, what he used to do. He famously kicked a guy off his team for having asthma. He was tired and couldn't breathe. He said, go have some effing asthma on the other field, and kicked him off the team. Craig wasn't that bad, but no, Jay is. He's absolutely that way. But I feel like during games, he tries not to micromanage. And I'm with you, though. Maybe he needs to start grabbing a guy when they're coming off and being encouraging. Craig was never like that. I saw a lot of people say, oh, it's probably really helpful to Eric Sandvik that his head coach is ripping his ass when he's coming off the field. And it's like, yeah, but at some point you got to make a kick. And the guy's lost. The guy hasn't five of six he's missed. And technically he's Eric Sandvik's coach. So,
and you want a guy that's just walking around at practice with a coffee cup full of something else in practices?
Been there. Danny Renz, I feel the same way as Breck. That question is always in my head, like, are you going to try and do anything? Yeah, I think first things first, right, and it's something I'm going to ask him tomorrow, is I think first thing you got to do is look yourself in the mirror. First things first. And Jay's got some things to fix, no doubt about it. I think he burns the candle at both ends way too much. And needs to delegate a little bit. And I think he does that during games, but I also feel like he's just locked in. I just feel like, because, I mean, I hear all these people saying this about Jay. Craig used to stand there with his arms folded and peeling paint, ripping people's heads off. He looked pissed off all the time.
I used to say it all the time, too, but I think, and I've said this, that Jay is just a football guy, and he's always talking to somebody in the headset.
Yeah, he is.
And, yeah, sometimes he's pissed off, and wouldn't you be watching that offense too?
Yeah.
But he's just a football guy, and he's just talking to somebody. And I think that's how he keeps himself involved somewhat too. He's always wanting to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Where Craig, the only thing he ever said was go for it on fourth down, or if they're going to kick, or if they're going to punt, or whatever.
Or from what I hear, run the damn ball.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there was times that there was pass plays and he negated that and said, nope, we're running it here. Nope. Which, to Jay's defense, or not defense, but downfall, the Air Force game, when he heard that call come in, he should have called a timeout and said, we're not running that effing play.
Yep.
And we're going to run it down their throat.
That's exactly what I asked him first question in the press conference. Why didn't you veto that play? But once again, you know, if I feel like Jay's back. I think it's all indicators are Jay Sauvel is back, and I ain't mad about it. I ain't mad about it. I think he needs 3 years. I think at least three. I think three. If the same shit continues, obviously that's a problem and it needs to stop. But he proved he could turn the defense around just like that. So, and anybody who tells you otherwise, that defense was legit this year, and the defense was not good the year before. And to be honest, I'm working on a story right now about recruiting misses because recruiting, you know, the class is supposed to sign tomorrow. I'm looking back to 2021, the year that Caden Barnett and Jack Walsh and this recent group of seniors who just finished up their career here, only seven dudes are back from that. And I give Craig Bull a huge mulligan for that year. It was COVID. Guys couldn't even come on campus and make visits, but there were some serious swings and misses in recruiting and nothing being replenished in the transfer portal and losing really good players. They lost like 10 starters to the transfer portal after beating Kent State in the Potato Bowl. They replaced them with four guys. The only two that did anything was Andrew Peasley, which was a great pickup, and Ja'Cory Hawkins, who made a couple plays while he was here. Other than that, the other two, Keelan Cox was one of them. He was the Alabama guy. He never played. He never played a snap. There's other guys where the next year in 2022, that recruiting class, the one that they lost all those people to the portal, there's only seven guys, I believe, if I remember correctly, that remain from that team. And we're not talking guys who are making huge plays and impact guys. That really hurt. It really hurt. And Craig was so late to the party when it came to replenishing and using the transfer portal that it really hurt. And I think some of that is rearing its ugly head as we speak. And last year especially, I've talked about it on the show 100 times, Malik Williams started 36 games, I think, at left tackle for San Jose State. Wyoming didn't have a left tackle last year. Sure would have been nice to keep Malik Williams, who could have slid in just seamlessly for Frank Crum. They still haven't shored that up. They've all these offensive linemen that they've got at the high school level, only like three of them remain over the last 5 years. That's not a winning recipe here. Like you mentioned, Jared, you cannot just throw in a freshman on the offensive line. There's only Steve Seifers only comes around once every what year of Wyoming football is this?
He would have came on board. He started as a freshman in 93.
Yeah, pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. And guess what else they did in 1993?
They won a championship.
Last championship in Wyoming football history. I'm not even going to give these guys credit or look into it. These people who say time to look into the FCS, time to sign a bunch of Wyoming kids and
so over that shit.
Have your starting quarterback be from Tongue River or Little Snake. I mean, give me a break. Or, oh, man, maybe they should hire the head coach at Sheridan. Just come on. Just
and here
stop.
Are some good comments. I'm not going to go to the stupidest shit I've read because we already went over a few of them. One, Tom Luneman, the portal is a two-way street. Let's go get some talent.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And they did.
Yep.
They did last year.
And Art Vandalay actually says, exactly. And then he asked some questions about when it opens and stuff like that. So thank you for that.
And it's always been that way. That was the gripe when Bull was here. It works both ways. I got to tell you, Jared, I knew it was coming, but this "and so it begins again" or so it begins, oh,
I know.
Nothing sends me over the edge like reading that. Minus the FCS part. That sends me completely to the moon. So no more responding to those. For me, it's not good for my blood pressure.
And I forgot to take a picture of my picks. Sorry. I know it was 5-2 last week. I told you guys, take the under in the Wyoming game.
Yeah.
Hammer that under, folks.
Yeah. I'm glad you know, and I got to go pick up the little one.
Oh, that's good.
And we, unfortunately, our dog died of 10 years, and our big bloodhound Ozzy, and my daughter is not handling it very well, and none of us are, but it's really hard to explain to a new four-year-old, newly four-year-old, that Ozzy is now in heaven and has all the bones he could ask for and all that good stuff. So we are going to, even though it's getting dark, we are going to go let off some balloons with a letter to Ozzy and a bone tied to the string for him.
Nice.
So we're going to, we're trying to handle that with kid gloves as much as humanly possible. So that's been brutal. But Wyoming basketball, Dartmouth this Saturday, I believe tip-off is at 2 p.m.?
Yes.
Yeah, and then, tomorrow, of course, stay tuned to 7220sports.com. I already have a story up of the guys they're expecting to sign tomorrow. I'm also told that everybody's still on board. They don't expect any surprises of guys not signing.
And they've actually, there was one that wasn't in your story that flipped from SMU, right?
Yep, running back out of Ocean Spring, Mississippi, home of Bart Edmiston.
Ooh, there
so
you
I
go.
So I wonder if Bart Edmiston was doing a little recruiting.
I would have said 100. You said on this current roster, that would have been the last guy I would have said.
I know. Yeah, screw Dallas. Come up here, buddy. Come up here and hang out with your old punter friend. So I don't know if that had anything to do with anything, but just kind of funny to see two guys from a small town in Mississippi coming up to Laramie. But, tomorrow stay tuned for that. And then Thursday, Tom Berman will meet with the media. I assume that's where we will hear the vote of confidence for Jay Sauvel and what the plan is going forward and what his expectations are. And we'll kind of go from there. Talk to Sundance Wicks about the scare they put into Texas Tech. And believe it or not, they're only a few games away here from starting conference season.
So Dartmouth Saturday, host South Dakota Tuesday, then they play South Dakota State in Sioux Falls the week after that, and then it's Grand Canyon, right?
I believe so. Is it? Are they playing that in Sioux Falls or Rapid?
In Sioux Falls.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, just a few more games left in this non-conference season. So sure wish she could have had that Sam Houston game back, don't you?
You know, but it's a learning experience game.
Yep.
Look at how good they're shooting free throws since then. It is. It's one of those things that he made a – it's a disease almost.
Oh,
it's contagious.
The piss hit the bowl.
Still getting some play out of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you knew that was coming. I'm actually shocked it wasn't on ESPN that night. It was so good. Anyway, folks, thank you so much for joining us. Do not take any of these quarterbacks to the bank. We don't know, but that is good stuff, Jared. Thanks for looking into that. I think these are some interesting guys to keep an eye on. And if it comes through, then you can say you heard it here first. How about that?
Bo Brungard, Youngstown State.
Go get him.
Senior to be.
Go get him. And his OC. Package deal. Sounds like he's got a resume to me. I don't know. We might be missing some. He might have been arrested for God knows what. We should probably look that part up too.
And bring your OC with you.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you next week.